By implication, the PLO set aside numerous other UN resolutions, which, with Israel and the US, it is now apparently undertaking to modify or rescind, that, since 1948, have given Palestinians refugee rights, including either compensation or repatriation. The Palestinians had won numerous international resolutions, passed by, among others, the EC, the Non-Aligned Movement, the Islamic Conference, and the Arab League, as well as the UN, which disallowed or censured Israeli settlements, annexations, and crimes against the people under occupation. It would therefore seem that the PLO has ended the Intifada, which embodied not terrorism or violence, but the Palestinian right to resist, even though Israel remains in occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. The primary consideration in the document is for Israel's security, with none for the Palestinians' security from Israel's incursions. In his 13 September press conference, Rabin was straightforward about Israel's continuing control over sovereignty. In addition, he said Israel would hold the River Jordan, boundaries with Egypt and Jordan, the sea, the land between Gaza and Jericho, Jerusalem, the settlements, and the roads. There is little in the document to suggest that Israel will give up its violence against Palestinians, or, as Iraq was required to do after it withdrew from Kuwait, compensate those who have been the victims of its policies over the past 45 years. Neither Arafat nor any of his Palestinian partners who met the Israelis in Oslo has ever seen an Israeli settlement. There are now over 200 of them, principally on hills, promontories, and strategic points throughout the West Bank and Gaza. Many will probably shrivel and die. The largest are designed for permanence. An independent system of roads connects them to Israel and creates a disabling discontinuity between the main centers of Palestinian population. The actual land taken by these settlements, plus the land designated for expropriation, amounts, it is guessed, to over 55% of the total land area of the occupied territories. Greater Jerusalem alone, annexed by Israel, comprises a huge tranche of virtually stolen land, at least 25% of the total amount. In Gaza, settlements in the north, 3, the middle, 2, and the south, along the coast from the Egyptian border past Khan Yunis, 12, constitute at least 30% of the strip. In addition, Israel has tapped into every aquifer on the West Bank and now uses about 80% of the water there for the settlements, and for Israel proper. There are probably similar water installations in Israel's Lebanese quote-unquote security zone. So the domination, if not the outright theft, of land and water resources is either overlooked in the case of water, or in the case of land, postponed by the Oslo Accord. What makes matters worse is that all the information on settlements, land, and water is held by Israel, which hasn't shared most of these data with the Palestinians any more than it has shared the revenues raised by the inordinately high taxes it has imposed on them for 26 years. All sorts of technical committees, in which non-resident Palestinians have participated, have been set up by the PLO in the territories to consider such questions, but there is little evidence that committee findings, if any, were made use of by the Palestinian side in Oslo. So the impression of a huge discrepancy between what Israel got and what the Palestinians conceded or overlooked remains unrectified. I doubt that there was a single Palestinian who watched the White House ceremony who did not also feel that a century of sacrifice, dispossession, and heroic struggle had finally come to naught.